My name is Bow Wow and I got the thing, and we gonna worship him in slang. We gonna go here and eat the dog cookie, and then we gonna lap up some water. Then we're gonna scratch on the right, and then we're gonna scratch on the left. We're gonna put a hand on our head and scratch up, and everything. Stop it, John. Read the article. Okay, I was trying to rhyme something with canine-centric worship service, intended as a weekly community outreach event. The service comes complete with doggy beds? Huh? Doggy treats? And we're not making it up. Doggy prayers. I said that was Covenant Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. It goes on and says, Pastor Tom Eggleman. Oh, Lord, I could say something about that name, but I'm not going to do it because lawsuits galore. Thought of the idea 3 years ago to spark growth amongst his dwindling congregation. You know, I'm trying to pull it together. You're talking about church growth with a dog bone. Gosh. When you leave the Bible out and everything, this is what our society is. All right, here it is. All right, let me go back. Okay. To spark his dwindling congregation, and as an avid dog lover, the pastor believes that the canines at Covenant services meet a need for the largely ignored segment of believers. I'm trying. Okay. The article goes on and says that the Bible says of God only two things in terms of an is. And that is, God is light and God is love, Eggleman says. And wherever there is love, there's God in some fashion. Man, look at how he twisted that exegesis. The dude is going bananas. And then he says, and when we love a dog and the dog loves us, that's a part of God, and God is a part of that, so we honor that. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he's thinking about God spelled backwards, right? Is that what he's trying to do? We be nuts. We be nutty as a fruitcake. We be nutty and we've gone nuts, and now we've taken it to another level. Can't go there with you, buddy, because you have flipped your clop. Now I'm gonna tell you, if you do not stop. Okay, I'll read the rest of the article. Oh goodness, I can't believe this. He said that. According to a recent Associated Press story, Eggleman isn't alone, but it is part of a growing trend among churches nationwide to address the spirituality of pets and the deeply felt bonds that owners form with their animals. Look, this is not a joke. This is a real article that I'm reading to you. It says, though calling this a definitive trend is debatable, one nationwide survey found a grand 6 churches involved in similar wolf, quote unquote, wolf oriented worship service. It does reveal a broadening attitude about pets and spirituality. Oh my goodness. Okay. Y'all, give me a minute. okay now. I'm okay. I'm okay. Oh, goodness. I got an email from a friend of mine in Alabama, and he said, Pastor John, I feel this hole in my soul, man, when I think of the church, man. This hole in my soul. I told Mikhail, I said, Mikhail, you're not the only one, brother. We all feeling it. I got another call from a brother who's a beautiful young preacher in Germany, and he called me, and he said, Pastor John, what's going on? What's going on with these guys? You know what I told the young preacher? Man, die to yourself and live for Christ, because when you look at what's happening in the church today, all these cats that went banana fruitcakes, man, they went nuts. Let me try to continue to read this wolf-oriented worship services, if you can believe that. Huh. More and more people in mainline Christianity are considering them to have some kind of soul. You know what? Wait a minute. You know what? Listen to a little music while I reach for a text. I want to share something with you. Hold on. Listen to this. Listen. I'll be back. I gotta get this book. I gotta read it. I can't. Okay, I found it. You know, I'm a philosophy professor, and I teach ethics, right? And in the ethics, let me see how much time I got. Yeah, I got about 15, 18 minutes. I was in the classroom, and let me see. I think the chapter was on not subjectivism. We were getting, all right. We were going over in the classroom, and I'll finish that article. I'm turning to, it was Beyond Ethical Egoism. Oh, and I hate teaching this stuff, but I got to make a living. You know what I mean? And we got into a place because really what this guy is talking about is utilitarianism. And the utilitarian approach is that, and this started with a guy named David Hume and Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill. And I want to just read to you what the definition is only about, oddly about. By the principle of utility is meant that principle which approves or disapproves of every action whatsoever, according to the tendency which it appears to have to augment or diminish the happiness of the party whose interest is in question. In other words, utility, or the doctrine of utilitarianism, is that if it makes you happy, then let it be happy. I don't want to pound my fist on the desk, but you can't do that in Christianity, because Christianity is not there to make you happy, Pastor Idiot. Oh, gosh, I cannot believe this. And, you know, we got into the aspect of non-human animals. And listen to this. We understand that in moral philosophy, that Christianity has always deemed animals less than humans. That's why we cook them, kill them, eat them, bake them, fry them, rip them apart, race them, drive them into the ground. They're not humans. They're animals. I did run into controversy when I was reading this portion of the book because some of the students had the animals on the same levels as human beings. Now, listen to Bentham's argument. He says, because both humans and non-humans can suffer, we have the same reason for not mistreating both. If a human is tormented, why is it wrong? Because that person suffers. Similarly, if a non-human is tormented, it also suffers. So it is equally wrong for the same reason. So for Bentham and Mill, these dudes lived years ago, and they're still pushing this philosophy now. That's why Michael Vick went to jail, because he was fighting his non-human animals. But yet and still, we put two humans in the ring to beat each other and kick each other's and to stomp each other's brains out. And we're relishing in that. And when one comes up with a concussion, nobody goes to jail. And we're human. We're killing human fetuses by the hundreds of thousands in this country. Nobody feels anything. But now you want to bring Rover to church. I understand. I truly understand. Let me continue to read this foolishness of an article. It's the changing family structure where pets are really central and religious communities are starting to recognize that people need various kinds of rituals that includes their pets. Let me tell you something. I got Broman here. And when I preach in my study in the back of my property, my dog is locked up on the side of the house like any other dog would be. I leave him water and food, and I have him blocked off, and I tell everybody, stay away from him. He's an animal. Once I had him in the place when we were worshiping, but someone was allergic to the dog, and I just had to remove him because the human supersedes the animal. This preacher's out of his mind. But that's what Laura Hobgood Oster, a religious professor at Southwest University who has studied the role of pets amongst Christians. Ain't that a mess? This chick wasted her time. More and more people are people in mainline Christianity are considering them to have some kind of soul. No, we are not. To play me some music. I need a break. I need a break. Dogs don't have a soul, only humans do. Dogs don't matter, we do. Dogs ain't got a right, but I do, because I is human. Dogs need to get out of my house, cause they have fleas. Dog need to get out of my face, oh Mr. Please. Dogs don't have a right, oh we bout to fight. Dogs. See my friends, I can take it to the next level too. Just like this new age that we live in has gone fruits, bananas. No, Pastor John's not crazy. He knows what's happening. He's floating with it. And guess what? My dog just walked in my studio here. Now, I like Broman a lot. I really do. As a matter of fact, I could say I love this little furry beast because he's a, what do they call it? Staffordshire Bull Terrier. He's a little red nose thing, you know? Got pink eyes and a red nose. As a matter of fact, got the prettiest light brown eyes, but he's a dog. And I know he's a dog. And every time he tried to jump up on my couch or my bed, I slap him right on his snout, and he jumps off and looks at me and runs on the back porch because he knows he's about to get his head crashed. He's a dog. Well, last sentence in the article says, whatever dogma churches adopt. One thing is certain for Igabin. His plan is working. Of the more than 30 humans who attend the church's first service, 3/4 were newcomers. Oh, wow. I can't believe that. You know what? On my next off Sunday, I think I'll go by Covenant Presbyterian Church and have a talk with the pastor here in Los Angeles. Well, I've had a ball. You can probably tell. Thank you for putting up with PJ as he presents another webcast on this Veterans Day on 11/11/09. Our next webcast will be on Thursday. Bob Klink, Mark Ramsey will join me here in the Lucy Coleman studio, and I've got to look I've got to look up some more articles. For those of you that are Christians, I just wanted to give you something to laugh about because it is crazy out there. Crazy. You know, I've already asked this question, so I'm not going to ask it again because they're thinking that, you know, they'll probably think I'm bugging John MacArthur. But if you forgot the date that you were born again, this is the question that I have for you. If you forgot the date that you were born again, how do you know you were? I'll leave you with that. Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles. You know the drill. Stay into the Word. I'm sorry. The music is done by Timothy Armstrong, my godson, who also lives in Hollywood, that is Los Angeles. God bless you.